Thanks for listening to the Adam and Dr. Drew Show on Podcast One. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. I'm going to get on, man. How you doing, Drewski?
Ooh, yeah.
Hiccup.
Got some braggots and some bros.
Some breeze, man.
Nobody knows what we're talking about.
No.
We did play it once for people, didn't we?
Yeah, we've played it. You know, speaking of Cosby, it's kind of an interesting theme for us about how we're coming undone at the seams as a society. Hiccup.
You keep telling me we're not.
No, we are.
We're going to get better.
No, well, I'll tell you what's going on. I want to thank sponsors for the show, by the way, 4hymns.com/ADS, and you can visit TrueCar, SaneBox.com/ADS, and ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. So, speaking of Cosby, let me give you something that, I don't know, I'd like your opinion.
Yeah.
True opinion.
Go.
Honest opinion. Okay. I just finished up a stand-up special. And there were some jokes, and some of those jokes had to do with, well, mainly my family, myself, my kids and stuff like that, but also Mexicans and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And at some point, one of the guys that was working on it kind of sort of like, cut that joke about the Mexicans or whatever. And I was like, why? And I was like, I was like, it's a stand-up special. Like, it's comedy. It's comedy.
Oh, please.
It's comedy. So I said, no. And the other thing we're working on is this Willie T. Ribbs doc, which I think is just amazing. Really turned out great. But speaking of Cosby, Cosby's in the doc. He's not in it. He doesn't know he's in it. He didn't sit down and do an interview. But there's plenty of archival footage of him talking to, like, Entertainment Tonight about Willie T. Ribbs and sponsoring Willie T. Ribbs and blah, blah, blah. And Cosby went to bat for Willie T. Ribbs to drive at Indy. And he said, I want a black man driving at Indy, and I'm going to make it happen. Now, he couldn't really make it happen. He ended up having to pay for it himself. And
Willie or Cosby? Cosby couldn't make it happen or
yes.
Willie could? Yes, okay.
He couldn't make it happen. He had to pay for it himself.
Got it.
Cosby did.
Yeah.
Willie doesn't have, nobody has that kind of money.
Okay.
You need corporate sponsorship.
Yep.
You want to run at Indy, you need millions of dollars.
Got it.
And backup cars and trailers and teams and whole thing. So he couldn't do it, but Cosby sort of said, I'll handle it. I'll get McDonald's and Jell-O and Kodak and everybody to jump on board. Nobody jumped on board, but he was the spokesperson for all those places and didn't want anything to do with it. So he was on the hook for about $350,000, but circa 1989. Imagine your dad.
Sure.
Enough as my dad, I didn't even, he'd be going around tracking a big wheel, although it wouldn't even be, my dad wouldn't even know what Indy was. Like, I don't know what it would be. I can't imagine. But anyway, Cosby, so anyway, we made this doc, and I was just like, look, whatever the story is, you tell the story. Cosby's there. Willie's telling the story about Cosby calling him, going to his hotel in Vegas and saying, I want to do this. I want to do that. You're the guy who should do it. And then blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then at some point, as we were like showing the doc or testing the doc, people are sort of like, well, it was real good, but what about this? What are we going to do about Cosby? And I was like, I'm not going to do anything about Cosby. This is a story, and this guy's the most famous comedian in the world, pretty much at the time, spokesperson for Coke and Jell-O and everything, McDonald's and everything else. And then he got involved, and we know the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no part where you said what he did was a bad guy. You know, and I'm like, well, it's kind of ironic because he seems like a civil rights champion here.
Yeah.
To me, it's a story of, people are real complex. there's no such thing as just pure evil.
Absolutely.
There's what Bill Cosby did to those victims, yeah. and then there's civil rights champion Bill Cosby. Same dude. See, we can't live in that world anymore.
I know.
It's got to be comic book villain or happy fun time.
Yeah.
We don't realize the same guy can actually be writing checks out of his own checking account to push across a noble cause, which is getting a black man into the Indy 500 for the first time, and then also be a horrible
misogynist rapist.
Right. Thank you. So,
and by the way, I
that's like too nuanced.
You and I
have
talked about this. I figured out what he was up to with all this, because when you read his deposition, that one deposition that was released that got the whole thing going, he essentially says, he goes, I put him to sleep because, you know, if they're awake, they get feelings.
Right.
It was so unbelievable. It's like, they were going to have sex, but I don't want him to have any feelings or anything. So if he's asleep, it gets rid of that.
Right.
How so nutty. So crazy.
So.
But that was this weird reasoning he had, I think.
Now we're making this. Now the movie's kind of getting finished, and they're like, what are we going to do about the Cosby stuff? And my thing is, like, what do you mean? What are we going to do about it? We're just telling the story. That's the story, is he got involved. He cut the checks. He couldn't get any sponsorship.
The narration is going to have to include a sentence about now, you know, convicted rapist, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, really? Yep. That's where we're at. Like, you have to make sure that we don't condone what Bill Cosby does. So when they're making a movie about racing from the late 80s and early 90s. But we have to make it clear that we don't take the side of Bill Cosby. And at a certain point, I just said, I'm against it. And I don't like living life that way.
This is Jordan Peterson's whole crusade.
What is his whole crusade?
Mandated speech. His thing, though, is the government tries to mandate speech. That's where he draws the line. This is culturally mandated speech.
So, yeah. So I'm like, I don't want to apologize just because someone says, you owe me an apology. I want to do something wrong. Mm-hmm. And then if I apologize, I'm sort of admitting I did something wrong. And I don't like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like I did anything wrong. So I'm not apologizing. And I was just like, look, go do what you want, but I'm a conscientious objector to us explaining that Bill Cosby turned out to be a bad guy. But it's in there. And it's fine. But it doesn't, it's 11 seconds. But I hate it. I hate that that's our society now. And I don't know who decided that's who we should be. I didn't sign off.
I want to talk to you about the Trump derangement syndrome in a minute. ZipRecruiter, everybody. Hiring used to be hard, but now it's easy. You only have to go to one place to get it done. That is at ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So with results like that, it is no wonder ZipRecruiter is the highest-rated hiring site in America. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. That is ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. Again, our listeners, free at this exclusive website, web address, ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. 80% of you can expect to get a quality candidate within the first day. It's no wonder ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right. You want to talk about derangement syndrome?
Yeah,
or you want to take a call?
Let's take a call.
What's going on?
Well, there's a psychologist that published a paper saying that Trump anxiety disorder is a real thing, real syndrome. That people live in this chronic sense that the world's going to come to an end, chronic hatred for Trump, chronic anxiety about what he's going to do next, constant returning to social media and repeat reading stories over and over. I think people have this thing.
I know I'm a little bit of a broken record with this, but isn't that sort of narcissism? Because I'll tell you why.
It's probably a bunch of different things, but part of it may be that. Why?
Because I have this luxury of saying, well, as much as I may disagree with this politician and their stance on X, Y, and Z, does that really affect me? And I mean, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to pay my taxes.
You also don't launch into a giant hatred for that person, like a weird, overwhelming, you know, sort of desire to harm that person, which is part of the syndrome.
Yeah, like Gavin Newsom's a putz, and he's wildly misguided, but I'm sure he just wants to get some votes and get his dick sucked and go home like I do. Not in that order. Oh, no, in that order.
That's the order.
Yeah, some votes, dick sucked.
Yeah, I'll be right with that latter part.
Don't worry.
No, we can switch it around if you want. Huh. Okay. You want to switch around?
Well, not the home part. We'll leave that at the end.
Yeah.
We go get your dick sucked, get some votes, then go home.
Okay.
Okay. So he wants to do what we all want to do. Get a dick sucked, get a few votes, and then go home. So I don't think – now, is he causing some damage along the way? Yes, I do think he's causing damage along the way. And but does it really affect me and where I live and what I do and what I get to do and what the things I like to do? Let's say I like cars. I like racing the cars. I'll do that. I'll have the relationship I want with my kids and my wife, and then we'll be dead pretty soon, and that'll be fine. And I don't agree with what he's saying. I don't believe he needs to be stopped, and I don't feel like I'm in danger. And I don't feel like society at large is in danger. We'll just have some slow growth years, and eventually we'll have to move out of California because it'll be too much for the people that are paying everything. But that'll come in a few years.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then he'll – I don't know. I oftentimes think, like, is he going to have some sort of moment 10 years from now when everyone leaves and he's just left with a pile of homeless people and no tax revenue? I maybe he will. But that's as far as I get with it.
Yeah.
But I don't take it as if somebody's gunning – for me.
Yeah.
Because that would be insane. Because they don't know me. And they don't care. And it doesn't behoove them to gun.
It's almost a delusional syndrome. It's almost a Trump delusional syndrome.
Well, it is delusional in the sense that where, you know, you're screaming he's a racist and you think, how does that serve him? He's a business guy. Good or bad. I'm just saying, like, where's the racist part come in? Like, my feeling with the cries of racism or things of that nature, homophobic or whatever, that's a time waster for a guy like Trump. You think about it, it takes some energy to be racist. For me, too. You know, it's not worth it. I don't get paid to be racist. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really make sense.
I think, though, we've conflated racially insensitive and racist. They're the same thing.
That's what we are.
Yeah.
But by the same token, when Gavin Newsom talks about, you know, preying on brown people and black people, I don't think for a second he likes Mexicans or black people per se. I just think he's trying to get votes. I don't think he loves them. I don't think they hate them. I don't think they're politicians.
Yeah.
They'll take as many votes from as many people as they can possibly get.
That's right.
Now, like someone like Maxine Waters, I do think is nuts. Like, I think she has a very low IQ and I think she's insane, but still don't feel threatened by her. I wish I didn't share a state with her, but it'd be nice. But I don't feel like she's going to do me any harm. You know what I mean? She'll do her own constituency harm. And as long as I don't have to be part of her constituency, I'll be fine. But, yeah, there's a sort of grandiosity to I got a target on my back.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's a weird syndrome. It's weird. And narcissism, I do believe, is what's created the whole mess we're in.
Yes.
I've thought that all along.
You have.
It's what creates the mob. I predicted it. I was going to put a chapter about it in my book, and they wouldn't let me put it in because they said it was too far out. No way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to compare it to pre-revolutionary France.
Mm-hmm.
I said, guillotines will come out. Now there will be mobs, and there will be scapegoating. And that's what we're doing. Think about it.
Well, not me.
No, I know, but it's happening right now.
Yeah, so. We started off. It's funny, Gary, we got to find that. We're not going to find it. But I think about our very first guest after Trump got elected. What was his name?
Glenn Washington, I believe.
Glenn. It's not Glenn. That's what always screws me. I can't get out.
Glenn. G-L-Y-N.
I can't get out of the starting blocks with Glenn Washington because the Glenn, I always start going, Glenn, no. I never even get to the Washington, but Glenn Washington, he was like, I think his wife was like, I don't know, mayor of Oakland or something like that. But either way, he was explaining that he's going to have to tell his kids about how they're going to have to run serpentine to the mailbox. And I was like, why are you going to do that? Maybe I'll get a tax break. Let's move on. Let's get going. I know that sounds so naive. That's what he would say. But I'm like, I don't know how the last 19 months or 18 months have been for Glenn Washington and his wife with their children in Oakland, but I imagine they're doing all right. Well, either way, whatever has gone right or gone wrong, I don't know what Trump would have had to do with that.
Yeah.
But it is weird, and it's unfortunate. But my thing is, don't put your kids through that. Why are you explaining that to them? It's kind of abusive, if you think about it.
I think it's crazy that with the level of hatred that there's not been any attacks on him. You know what I mean? Any attempts on his life?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that seem weird to you? With this level of crazy feelings.
Washington's wife is an Oakland council member.
Oh, all right. Nice.
They doing all right? Everyone alive?
Everyone seems to be breathing.
Kids put in cages at the border. They're doing all right.
Let me look into it.
Okay. All right.
Aaron,
45. Yes.
Hi there, guys.
Hold on, Aaron. What?
It's all grandiosity. I've realized it.
But it's a weird anxiety and delusion thing too, though. I mean, because here's what I find weird. Trump also attracts a certain kind of dedication too. There's like I had breakfast with Anthony Scaramucci when I was in New York, believe it or not.
Oh yeah,
and interesting guy, and he was a sycophant almost of Trump's, and I thought, wow, it's the exact opposite of the other group. You know what I mean? There's sort of a Trump denial group that no matter what he does, it's sort of okay. And there's a Trump delusional group, no matter what he does, it's the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird. It's a weird – I am in absolutely in neither camp. I just sit in the middle going, what the F's going on with these two camps? What is this?
Well, look, I feel the same way about adults who are getting pumped up about the latest Spider-Man movie. I'm like, are you fucking nuts? Yeah, what are you getting so fucking worked up for? Like, why are you
It's the same thing.
Yeah,
it
I'm
is.
Like, really? Don't you have, I don't know, kids, responsibilities,
so what,
things?
We just call it all narcissism? We chalk it up to that? On both sides and all
well,
sides?
Yeah, so here's what I think.
Yeah.
I think when you really have, you know, my grandfather left Hungary in 1938 and a half or 1939 because he did think Hitler was Hitler.
Yeah.
He had a strong sense about who Hitler was.
Yeah.
I can't imagine leaving Budapest when you're a fairly successful playwright. And your dad like owns a coffee house or something, and you just fucking pack it all up and move.
Just get out of here.
Just get out
yeah.
on a boat. That means you think that somebody has an imminent threat to you.
Yeah.
And guess who was right?
Yeah.
Laszlo Gorok, because Bougie and Gabi and the rest of the Goroks got put in ghettos and then put on trains and taken to concentration
Jesus.
Camps. Right.
Yeah.
So Laszlo Gorok in 1939 was right. But he felt that way, and he left.
Yeah.
If you feel that way, you should be leaving somewhere, doing something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when you open the New York Times, it's like, you know, misogynist declared war on women, declared war on black people, declared war on his. It's like, then you really need to get out. If this guy, the president has declared war on you and your people, that's a good excuse to see if you can get some asylum in Canada or something. But I don't think you really think that.
Right.
Grandpa thought that and left. You say that and stay. See, I'll bet my grandpa didn't say shit. I bet he just fucking packed up a steamer trunk and got the fuck out of there.
And by the way, this is after hundreds of years of that family living in that city, you know, that town.
Yeah.
This is not... You know, hey, I moved around a bit, and I thought that things weren't looking too great in Budapest. Hundreds of years of family heritage, I'm out of here.
Right, but I bet he didn't write op-ed pieces yeah. for the Budapest Gazette over and over and over and months and months and months would just go by, and he kept writing these things. Yep. He didn't write anything. He left.
Yep.
Because he sensed a real threat. I'm wondering how much of a real threat they talk about it. But I don't think they think it. Do you?
Clearly not. That's your point. Or it's again because it's a grandiosity. It's
I don't think they can really think it. All right, give some love.
I'm going to give you maybe some tips, but maybe I won't because you don't need them. You don't need tips because you know people get used cars with a True Car certified dealer network and a nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. So you don't need any other tips. Here's the tip. True Car sells used cars. And there's 1 million used cars available. So if you cannot find what you want, it's your problem, not True Car's. Enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience. Whether you buy new or used, you get to see what other paid on that scattergram. So you get to lock in a price. So you know you've gotten a good deal before buying. It's a fair price because you see what the price scatter is in your area. You'll enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with True Car certified dealers. And there's over 1 million used car nationwide inventory. So when you're ready to buy new or used, check out True Car and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
All right. You ready to hop on that?
Yeah, let's get there.
Talk to
poor Aaron.
Aaron?
Yes.
Aaron, Napa, 45.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guy.
Before I ask my question, I want to thank you guys for telling me everything I needed to know as a teenager, poor, growing up with a mentally ill mother.
Oh.
It was everything. I don't know how I would have learned about the world if it wasn't for you two guys.
Oh, thank you.
And that, now they don't need us. They've got the internet.
That's right.
Right.
We still need the connection, though, Drew.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Oh, I know. Yes. Yeah.
And kind of along those lines, I got really, really sick about 6 years ago. I had like what I thought was the flu and ended up ever since I've been sick. And I do a lot of research on the internet, bumped into the whole bulletproof coffee guy. I don't remember what his name is, but you guys have had him on.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to figure out just what's going on with me, and they think I might have lupus. They don't know. You know, I've gone to all kinds of doctors. And so this new doctor I'm seeing has me on low-dose naltrexone therapy, which is an opiate blocker. It's what they give you when people OD. And that just, I had never heard of it in all of my research. And that just seems fucking crazy to me, but I've been on it 6 weeks. And I actually do feel better along with, they're having me take that along with kind of adjusting my thyroid medicine and some supplements that are for AIDS patients and stuff like that. I feel better, but is there like some downside that I'm not?
No,
this is an off-label thing.
No, it's not. No, naltrexone is harmless medicine. Don't worry about it. I mean, there can be some mood stuff or can interact with antidepressant medicine sometimes, but it is essentially a harmless medicine. I fully endorse that. And it can modulate your brain chemistry in ways we don't fully understand. So a bit of a Hail Mary, but I fully endorse it.
That's what he said. He said it's kind of a Hail Mary. Doesn't work on everybody, but it works on you.
Weird that we both use the same term, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did your mom have?
What? Bipolar?
Bipolar. Yeah, Adam, when you talk about your mom, it's like a lot of it is like my mom when she's in her down cycles, which is most of the time. And then the only difference between my mom and your mom is that she would be on the up cycles. She would kind of like rampage against me, not my sister, me.
So did she have a borderline personality disorder also, you think?
No, I don't think so.
Because that unregulated rage, you wonder about that.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't. I know someone with borderline personality disorder, and she doesn't seem to have that.
Okay.
the only thing that was a positive was at least my dad's pretty normal, so at least I had that. I didn't have two bad parents.
Good.
But my dad worked a lot, so he wasn't around a lot. So I was raised, you know, by my friends' parents a lot.
That's Adam's story.
Yeah, I was kind of like, you know, I grew up poor, you know, blonde, blue-eyed, but poor, 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 and in the ghetto.
How are things now?
I married a wonderful man, and it's odd, but his ex, who he has a daughter with, has borderline personality disorder.
Oh,
which has
good,
been
good times.
Woo. Well, look, Aaron, you're calling from
having
Napa.
A borderline ex is like,
got blonde hair, can't be too bad. It's tough, man. What's wrong with everyone out there, Drew?
What do you mean?
I just mean everyone's got something.
Human beings. That's the way it goes. We just talk about it more these days. We wear it on our sleeves. People used to hide that stuff. Now we share it with everybody. Ordinary misery. Remember, you and I used to talk about ordinary misery?
Yeah.
We don't want to have ordinary misery in this country. We don't tolerate it well.
No, I get it.
That's the part that's different. It's always been stuff. Been stuff going on with human beings. But we just don't tolerate it because we don't tolerate ordinary misery very well. And we share it.
All right. Let me talk to you about Sanebox, and then I'll talk to you about something I was talking to my dad about. Biggest workplace time waster, email. Mm-hmm. You could press one button and never see them again. You do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
With a couple of clicks, Sanebox gets your email under control, filters out the messages you don't need, and the ones you don't need, your focus. That's what I'm saying. Keep your current email app. Sanebox works with whichever email provider or device you are already using. It's Drew's going to like this.
I'm ready.
It's an EMT for your email doing triage, letting only important emails into your box. Mm-hmm. Featured on Business Insider, Wall Street Journal, Forbes, Fast Company, Inc., and Mashable as well. Let's see. Where was I? You get a free trial. 2 weeks. Try it out for free. Visit Sanebox.com/ADS. Sanebox.com/ADS. Start your free trial today and get a $25 credit. Sanebox.com/ADS. So there's I feel like there's a lens and everybody just sort of looks at life through their own lens.
Yes.
And then there's been this argument over the last few years that everyone's lens is right because they're looking at life through their lens, and that's what life is to them.
Yes, and I would argue that being right has developed into the ultimate goal as opposed to being accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a scientist, I don't know. I never know when I'm right. So I'm always interested in being accurate or trying to be accurate. And I've noticed that just creates a whole set of different feelings about things for me because I don't care if I'm right. And I never know if I am or not. But I've noticed everyone else insists on being right. That's also narcissistic, right?
Well, yeah. One of the things I found, I was citing your wife many years ago, but my wife did it the other day too, where I was explaining like, I'm attempting to solve some problems that pop up on a daily basis about how we're going to get from the kids from here and then who's going to pick them up over there. And you start into this process of, well, I can take them with me to work and then Olga, and they start sort of shouting it down before you get to the end. The thing I find that's interesting about it is most of the time when people explain to you it's not going to work, they don't then have a version that's going to work. Where I go, oh, wow, that's smart. Yes. Let's do it that way.
Yes.
I find myself going, let me finish. And it's this weird thing of like, why are you saying this is no good before I'm even getting...
It's the emotional reaction. It's not a rational discourse. It's not a discourse even at all.
Right. It's a kind of a, you're going to go, here's my idea of how we should do this.
No.
Right. And you're like,
yeah.
Can I just walk it out there?
No, stop it. Come on. You always have to be right.
And it's a weird thing because it's like, first off, I don't have a magic wand that can make this happen. We're going to have to sign off on it and then we're going to have to do it. And I don't really have a dog in this fight. I'm just trying to get stuff.
Doing this? Right. Why are we fighting?
Why are we going back and forth here? Let me just lay it. I found myself saying to people, including my wife, but many people, just let me finish.
What happened with your dad? I want to hear about that.
What I'm saying. Well, I said to my dad, I said, my kind of problem is I see things pretty clearly, and my goal is to just kind of find the best solution or the fastest solution or the clearest solution to whatever's going on. And that's become a sort of a liability or something now, like we're just sort of talking about psychology, because the crazy person next to you gets a vote too, and now you're kind of, well, look, we'll just agree to disagree. It's like, so basically, you know, you have a cop, and the one person just kicked you in the shin, and you're saying to the cop, here's what happened. I was walking down the street, and this guy kicked me in the shin, and then the other person, the crazy person, is saying, I was minding my own business. He broke in my house and kicked me in the shin, and the cop's going, look, you're both going to jail. And you go, no, that's not how it's supposed to work. Right. I have a clear version of this. This other one is not. And the cop just keeps going, I don't care. Both going to jail.
This was your dad's?
No, it wasn't my dad wasn't being the cop, but what I was trying to explain to him is that I do feel like my point of view and my asks are fairly straightforward and basic and almost like, you know, like yours. Like, here's what I'd like you to do. Here's what I'm going to do. Mm. I think it's fair, whatever. And society's kind of eroding around me a little bit. Like, hey, you can't expect that person to do that. And it's like, I'm saying, well, I'm not expecting anything. I'm paying for this, or I'm doing that, or it's a reasonable thing. Or what I'm doing is a kind of A, B, C, D. You're going A, G, F, R. And I'm like, hold on, let's just go in order here. And for some reason, there's some pushback or there's some whatever. And it's coming in. More and more people are stricken with this, is what I'm saying. I'm hearing it on the news. I'm hearing it from 50-year-old adult males, you know, like I'm hearing it more and more. And I'm wondering, why is it unraveling like this? What about the A, B, and Cers? You know, you and I disagree on occasion about things, but I don't think we ever disagree about like modalities. You know what I mean? Like, here's how you do it. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you have to do. I've never said to you, like, I do things my way. Or you went, no. Like, I disagree because I know it's wrong. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I went, how do you know it's wrong? In my heart. No. You know, like, you've never said in your heart. I've never said, here's what I do. Yeah. I've never said, you disrespect me. You don't disrespect. Like, you've never said that. No. Like, there's never. If you said, like, here's what I'd like you to do, I don't jump in and cut you off and go, that's not going to work. Like, I would let you finish. And then I would go, here's why I think that's not going to be effective.
Yeah.
Or here are the parts that are good, and then here's the parts that might not work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of that. It's weird. It's like neuroses, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of wearing it out there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is weird. It's a weird time. It's weird. Again, that's why I keep asking people, where's it going? Where's it going? How's it going to work out? Because it feels so, like you say, unraveling.
Yeah. Maybe we'll start some sort of island, Drew.
Ooh, pedophile? No. What kind of island?
Well, we could do that. But I think like a sane island. You know what I mean?
Sane Isle. Yeah. Like, Sanity Isle.
Yeah. So
just
like,
keep the priority straight, Ace Man. Pedophile comes
pedophile first and then Sane Isle. Yeah. And we'll just live there. And
it's back to our gay lifestyle again. Okay.
And I will do the vetting.
For who else is
who's sane? Yes.
Oh, who's sane for Sane Isle?
I love sane people. I love pragmatic people. I love that.
We'll build a utopia.
A me-topia. Not you. Me. All right.
Or in your case, a mytopia.
Mytopia. Any bald spots yet? For hims.com. One-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men and more. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Generic equivalents of name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No gas station countertop supplements, no waiting room or awkward doctor visits. Our listeners get a trial. They get a month trial of Hims for just $5 while supplies last. It would cost hundreds if you went to the pharmacy. You see the website for full details. You want to keep your hair? Good. You keep your hair. ForHims.com/ADS. 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 All right, and go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows coming to, Pasadena and Seattle and Anaheim and Phoenix, all over the place. Go to Chassis and see pre-order Uppity. It's going to be ready to ship very soon. Now, Drew, what do you got?
Go to Dr.com, just get the family pods there, sign up for contact list. Get on my Instagram, if you don't mind. I'm going to be doing a bunch of Instagram live videos there and trying to sort of, I'll answer questions and things. I like doing that.
All right, and check out our friend Shaq's big podcast with Shaq on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Leave a nice rate and review. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Say. Mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.
Yeah, Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 channels, thousands of movies, on demand. Well, it's free. It's completely free. Normally when you hear on demand, you go, how much? No, not with Pluto TV. They never ask for a credit card. It's all legal. Just go log on and get it done. The time I'm doing this, you could have Pluto TV, download Pluto TV for free. And do it on your Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, your phone, whatever. And check out Chassis, Chassy, our channel, available now on Pluto TV.